بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. أهلا وسهلا، welcome all of you to this lecture. My respected sisters in Islam, of course the Sharia of Islam, the Deen of Islam, is a deen for every time and every place. And there is nothing in this deen except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified and explained to us and gave us the ruling for. It's either through direct rulings or through principles that are available in the Sharia for us and guidelines and framework from the Sharia that direct us into how to derive a ruling or a hukum. So when we speak about nawazil, what is nawazil? Nawazil means a fiqh issues, a jurisprudence issues that happens into our life, but there is no ruling about. And of course this topic, it's jurisprudence. Fiqh issues, questions and answers, rulings, so it requires a lot of attention. At least the matters are understood to you. You do not, after this lecture inshallah, you're not going to walk out just knowing haram or halal. You will know why it's haram and why it's halal, and why it makes sense to be halal and why it makes sense to be haram. That's my point behind the lecture. So the lecture is not about yes or no, haram and halal. You can hear a fatwa from me and then you ring another sheikh who will tell you something different. Then how are you going to make up your mind? You'd say there's so many here variables, so many people saying too many different things. How do I know which is right and which is wrong? My purpose is for me to lay down the fundamentals and for you to comprehend these fundamentals, and then by yourself, you know automatically whether this is correct or incorrect. So a lot of these issues are embedded in the Sharia, in principles that the Sharia have gave us. Take an example. There is nothing in the Sharia says smoking marijuana is haram. You'll be surprised. Is there an ayah, a hadith that says smoking marijuana is haram? No, but there are principles in the Sharia we understand from that smoking marijuana is haram. Example, when for example the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said kullu khamrin haram, yani every khamr is haram. What is khamr? Everything that intoxicates the mind is haram. So we derive, since marijuana intoxicates the mind, then it is haram. And there is no verse in the Quran that says marijuana is haram, or there is no specific hadith says smoking marijuana or taking marijuana is haram. Hence, how would we know? Same thing with cigarettes. There is no verse in the Quran, nor a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ says smoking Winfield Blue is haram, or smoking Benson and Hedges is haram. But there are fundamentals in the Sharia that tells us anything that harms you and harm others and waste your money is haram. Hence the ulama concluded this ruling. So that's what we need to understand. So you're not going to find in the Quran says, is Botox haram or halal? You're not going to find in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Botox halal or haram. But there are golden rules, the Sharia, and foundation the Sharia have put for us. And misunderstanding these golden rules, misunderstanding the way we structure the fatwa and the adilla we use, the proof we use to structure the fatwa, the legal ruling, will end up and result with misunderstanding all of these issues, and especially modern issues. Let's take the first principles. I want to talk to you about three main principles in the Sharia quickly so we can understand them very well. And I will show you the proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ about these principles. Then we base on them all different modern things that the woman faces in her life and also men. But today is for women only. طيب. What is the first principle? The first principle in the Sharia that anything that is not considered a worship, the basis for you is you're permissible to do it. Unless there is a proof from the Sharia. Anything is halal unless it is proven it is haram. Example, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا.
and everything on this earth is halal for you to consume. And that's why we say, for example, all food is halal unless it is proven otherwise. All drink. What is the proof that cordial, lemon flavored cordial, is halal? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said everything for you is halal. And there is no proof in the Sharia to say lemon flavored cordial is haram or cordial is haram. Hence, it becomes halal. I'll give you another example. Drinking alcohol made out of grapes. Tayyib. It's a drink. Is it supposed to be halal? By the first principle, yeah, it's halal. But the Sharia came to tell you that anything intoxicate the mind is haram. Hence, it is haram. You see? So the Sharia, anything to do with the eating and drinking. Take, for example, choosing a color for your hijab, which is befalls under what? Your daily habits. You know the Sharia told you how to wear your hijab Islamically into the Islamic framework. But choosing a color, how do I choose the color? Am I allowed to wear open, blown out pink that attracts the attention? Or I want to settle blue color or settle brown color? You find the Sharia allowed you to wear any color that you like because there's nothing in the Sharia says you cannot choose the color. Except some colors that brings the attention of men. Yani a bright colors which brings the attention, that in the Sharia told you that not to wear a color that brings the attention. And the colors, Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, in the hadith of Al-Gharabi Bissud, where she described the women in the days of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to dress like black crows. So the color was favorite to them is black. So you can wear black and or any subtle color that is accepted and does not bring unnecessary attention. So see how the Sharia works. Now, since the basis of everything to be allowed, anything the woman does from wearing makeup and put makeup on, and we'll speak specifically about makeup and what is allowed and what is not allowed, or the conditions the ulama have put for us about wearing makeup. Let's just say the issue of generally wearing makeup. The Sharia said there is nothing in the Sharia to say it is haram for a woman to wear makeup as long as it is not on the street or permanent or some of the conditions the Sharia put. So here you see, what is the proof that you're allowed to? The proof is you're allowed to, that the Sharia never said anything that it is haram about wearing makeup, but the Sharia restricted some conditions as we'll speak about them later. Take another example, another principle, which is a very important principle when we talk about these matters. The second principle is imitation. Imitation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Whosoever imitates a group of people is from them. And the issue of imitation is very important. Imitation of the kuffar, or men imitating women. The hadith here also of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam الْمُتَشَبِّهِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ بِالنِّسَاءِ وَالْمُتَشَبِّهَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ بِالرِّجَالِ. Collected by Bukhari. Ibn Abbas narrated that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the men who imitate women and the women who imitate men. To imitate men, and on the other side, men imitating women, like men taking their hair from all over their body. Normally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created men in a certain look and created women in a certain look. A woman normally does not have so much hair on her body. The men normally have hair on their body. So when they wax themselves their body, they are now imitating women. So that befalls under that in the Sharia. And also the Sharia has forbade imitation between the two sexes, men towards women and women towards men. So that is the first principle we need to understand. And that's why the scholars, they say, a woman that cuts her hair like men, for example, very short, like men, like my hair now, and to cut her hair like that, that says this is a haircut that is for men, and that's why women are not allowed to cut their hair like men. So this issue of tashabbuh. Also take an example. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum," whomever imitates a group of people, he is from them. Meaning here, the scholar said, and specifically Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned this, he said the imitation is into level. Meaning if you imitate the kuffar in whatever is known to be part of their religion, you are falling into kufr. Example, wearing a cross. Even if you do not believe in it, that makes you fall into kufr. Because you're imitating them because of their deen. Imitating a rock star to look like certain rock star, that is major sin. Because he is doing, what he is doing is not kufr. Yani he could be a kafir, but the way he dresses or the way she dresses is a major sin. If you imitate him in the major sin, you are falling into the major sin. Meaning, if you do your haircut, especially to look like a singer, so to look like her, even if you are wearing hijab, but you're intending to look like her, then you are falling into a major sin. And that is very important part we need to understand. To imitate them in a smaller things, for example, because they wear earrings in the nose, you decided to wear earring in your nose, then that is imitating them. So you need to be understanding of this. Tayyib, how do I know something is imitating of them and something is not? The principle here, very simple. Whatever the kuffar are known by it, or whatever the people of major sin are known by it, imitating them, it becomes like them. Yani whatever is known to be a dress of rock stars, or the way models look, or the way rock stars look, then once you start imitating them in that, even if the act itself is not kufr, but it puts you in the realm of falling into major sin and imitating them, even if you conceal it. Even if you conceal it, of course, showing it, it is double the trouble. Yani, for example, a sister, she wants to wear a dress to look like a singer. To wear it in the open, that is what? Double the sin. The sin of imitation and the sin not be dressed according to the Islamic standard. But to wear it inside the house, well, this is a clear imitation of people of major sin and fusuq, then you are doing a sin for that tashabbuh. For that tashabbuh. So what I mean, like if your husband asks you to cut your hair like a punk star, so you have to look like some certain punk star, yes, you wear the hijab and you're covering like this, but at the same time, you're covering that, but that haircut in itself makes you fall into a sin of imitating the people of fujur and fusuq wal'iyadu billah. So keep that in your mind. That is one second, that is the second principle. Now when we put the application, you would see exactly how it all comes together. The third principle, and an important principle, changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Changing the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, verse 117 and 118, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, describing the kuffar, إِنْ يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ إِلَّا إِنَاثًا وَإِنْ يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا شَيْطَانًا مَرِيدًا. They, all of those who worship others beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invoke nothing but female deities beside him, Allah, and they invoke nothing but shaitan, a persistent rebel. لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ, may Allah cursed him. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ لَأَتَّخِذَنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا. Allah cursed him, and he, the shaitan, said, I will take an appointed proportion of your slaves. وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلْيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلْيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيًّا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ خَسِرَ خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا. Verily I will mislead them, and surely I will arouse in them false desires, and certainly I will order them to slit the ears of cattle, and indeed I will order them to change the nature created by Allah, and whoever takes shaitan as a protector or a helper, meaning wali, instead of Allah, has surely suffered a manifest loss. So that is the first ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly said in it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the debate that took place between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the shaitan. What was the debate? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the shaitan to obey his command and to prostrate to Adam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he refused, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outcasted him. Now how the shaitan want to get back and fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, لَأَتَّخِذَنَّ I will take from your slaves a proportion that will become his allies. And that's why he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatened the one in the ayah who take a shaitan as an ally. What makes us allies of the shaitan? See, the dunya, everyone in this dunya are two parties, two camps. Either you're a camp of slave of Ar-Rahman of Allah, or you're a camp of the slave of the shaitan. And some of us are confused in between the two camps. Some of us are confused between the two camps. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drawn these guidelines for us. And He showed us and told us and informed us about the tricks of the shaitan. He said, "Wala udillannahum, I will surely misguide them. And I will arouse in them false desires. And I will order them to slit the ears of the camels," which is a ritual that the kuffar of Quraysh used to do. That means they are changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will order them to change the creation of Allah. Meaning to change the way Allah created you. Pay attention to this principle. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this act, وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيَّهُمْ Ever takes the shaitan as an ally, مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ Apart from Allah, which you meant to as a Muslimah, a sister in Islam, to take Allah as an ally, not the shaitan, فَقَدْ خَسِرَ خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا You have fallen into a great, clear loss. So here at tashabbuh, imitation. Here, changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is obedience to the shaitan, and you are drawing yourself closer and closer to the camp of an ally of the shaitan. You are taking an allegiance with the shaitan once you change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, which is, shows you how Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, highlighted for us changing the creation of Allah for purpose of beautifying oneself. Of course, do not make a quick judgment because we're going to explain that thoroughly. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْوَاشِمَاتِ وَالْمُسْتَوْشِمَاتِ وَالْمُتَنَمِّصَاتِ وَالْمُتَفَلِّجَاتِ لِلْحُسْنِ الْمُغَيِّرَاتِ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مَالِي لَا أَلْعَنُ مَنْ لَعَنَ النَّبِيُّ وَهُوَ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا Pay attention to this hadith. A woman came to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. She said, I read the Quran from skin to skin. Shuf subhanallah, someone who's seeking the truth and the haq, she read the Quran from skin to skin. Yani she exerted her effort to find the truth. How many of us to find one answer are prepared to read 3 pages? Huh? She read the Quran from skin to skin. She said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he cursed the one who does a tattooer and a tattooist, and al-mutanammisat, which the ones that plucks her eyebrows. Where did Allah say that in the Quran? A lot of us, that's unfortunately our approach. That if it's not in the Quran, I'm not going to do it. No. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said to her, are you sure you read the Quran from skin to skin? She said, yes. He said to her, have you read وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ Have you read that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you, take it, and whatever He forbids you, refrain away from it. She said, yes. He said, that is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning whatever the order comes from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is an order from whom? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said clearly, Allah cursed al-washimati wal-mustawshimat. Al-washimat, the one who makes the tattoo. And the ones, they get tattoos done. والمتنمصات. The متنمصات is the ones that pluck their eyebrows. والمتفلجات للحسن. The one that file their teeth to look younger. Pay attention to the hadith here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave you the reason. He said the reason is what? Changing the way you look for beautification. But we're going to differentiate between two things. Something permanent and something temporarily. But this is now we're still talking about the principle. المغيرات خلق الله. The ones that change the creation of Allah. So here he's saying the woman that beautifies herself by changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Ibn Mas'ud said, why would I not curse the one who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed? Now I want to read to you what Al-Imam al-Nawawi, he said, أما الواشمة, as for the واشمة, ففاعلة الوشم, the one that does the tattoo. وهي أن تغرز إبرة أو مسلة أو نحوهما في ظهر الكف. The one that puts a needle in the hand. طيب. أو المعصم أو الشفة. All the معصم, wrist or the lip. This is of course in their days. أو غير ذلك من بدن المرأة حتى يسيل الدم ثم تحشو ذلك الموضع بالكحل. Then they put the needle, put out the blood, then fill it with كحل, with يعني some kind of paint. طيب. And also المتفلجات, I'm skipping what he said, المتفلجات للحسن فمعناه, here he said, المتفلجات, he said أن تبرد ما بين أسنانها فتجعل فرجة بين الثنايا والرباعيات. He said المتفلجات is the one that file between the teeth and make a little gap, because young girls, young ladies, they have a little gap between the teeth and they want to look younger. وتفعل ذلك العجوز ومن قاربتها في السن إظهارا للصغر وحسن الأسنان. So it does this, the old lady, to bring her age down to look younger. لأن هي, I'm not gonna go through everything, but I will skip. Here he said, وهذا الفعل حرام على الفاعل والمفعول بها لهذه الأحاديث ولأنه تغيير لخلق الله تعالى ولأنه تزوير ولأنه تدليس. He said, and this act is haram upon the one who does it and the one who acquires it, يعني get it done, because of this ahadith, and because it is changing the creation of Allah, and because it is cheating the reality of your age. وأما قوله المتفلجات للحسن, as for his saying, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, seeking تفليج, changing the way you look in the teeth, seeking beauty, فيه إشارة إلى أن الحرام هو المفعول لطلب الحسن. And it is an indication in it that what is haram, when you do this, seeking to beautify yourself. By pay attention here what he said. He said, وأما لو احتاجت إليه لعلاجي لعلاج أو عيب في السن ونحوه فلا بأس والله أعلم. As if she needs it for seeking cure or to fix something that is wrong or similar to it or a deformity, it is no burden and no haram in that. So what do we understand from what the Shaykh rahimahullah, al-Imam al-Nawawi, the greatest scholar, said? He said the basis of principle is what? Is this haram to change the way Allah created you, except if it is some kind of what? Deformity, that for example a woman was born with bucked teeth, teeth they're not sitting properly, there are some apparent deformities, to fix them that is allowed. But to go into out of her way from the way Allah created her to change, then this is haram and this is changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we revise those three principles. First, everything is allowed. Second, everything that the Sharia made it allowed apart from the ibadat, because the ibadat, the worship, you have to. You cannot worship Allah except with what He legislated and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Secondly, we have to a principle to take and understand, which is imitating the kuffar and men imitating women and vice versa. The third one is changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based on this, we structure everything to do with this topic, which is surgical operation, cosmetic operation, makeup, and so on and so forth. Now let's go to the first question. Is woman allowed to wear makeup? Of course, the basis of principle FD said it is allowed except for a few conditions the scholars said and talked about. First condition, that this beautification has to be done for her husband, not for men outside. Meaning the makeup, the foundation, all this makeup the woman to put on her face, it is allowed except with a few simple conditions and exceptions. First one has to be done for the husband inside the house. It is not the woman wears it outside the house. طيب. Second, the material that it is made from. Meaning if the lipstick made from material which is haram, like fat of pork or fat of khanzir, or it contains some form of alcohol, I don't know, I do not know the make of them, but it does not contain any form of alcohol or any of that, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ is not allowed. Thirdly, it is not harmful to the body. If the makeup is harmful for the body, some women get harmed or sensitive towards some kind of makeup, do not force yourself into it just because somebody, your husband, asks you or something. Unless the makeup, or it has in its nature proven that it is harmful for the body, then you have to refrain from it. Now, harmfulness can be now and can be in the future. Meaning, harmfulness, some makeup does not harm you at the moment, but continuous wearing of this makeup eventually can cause harm for the woman. That is not allowed because the Sharia said, no darara wala dirar. No harm caused and no harm attained. So you do not attain harm for yourself in the long run. So keep that in mind when it comes to that condition. Also, it has to be temporarily, not permanent. Why not permanent? Because permanent meaning changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning some of the operation that actually removes the skin. Some operations done that removes the skin to attain a different color skin permanently, that is not allowed. Also, the tattoo, and I'll speak to you about the tattoo. The tattoo are two types today. Permanent and not permanent. The permanent one, definitely not allowed. The temporarily one, also not allowed. Type, why the temporarily tattoo is not allowed? Because it is not about changing the creation of Allah. You escaped that principle, but you fell into another principle, imitating the people of fusuq and fujur. A decent woman does not imitate. Tab, what about if the husband asks? I read to you what the ulama said about doing something haram just to please the husband. So again, the tattoo by principle is haram. If it is temporarily, the husband asks for it or not temporarily, it's not allowed. For the reason what? Yes, you escaped the principle of changing the creation of Allah, but you fell into another principle, which is imitating the people of fujur and fusuq. We all know, my respected sisters, we all know that the ones who do tattoos, it used to be the bikies and the junkies. And then the rock stars start doing this. And now it made its way to our Muslim community as a fashion item. There is no fashion item comes from these people. Anything that comes from them is haram, wal-iyadu billah. So do not fall into this. Also, another important point here, inflating the lips with substance, which is, you call it what? Botox. Why? Because this is a permanent changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based on that also, you can see the issue of removing temporarily with operation the wrinkles, which is facelift. And facelift that is done through operation seeking beauty. Remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? She files her teeth seeking beauty and seeking young age. So doing that, it's exactly like that. They befall under the same principle. Seeking to change it just to look younger, which is not allowed. Now, what about using creams to keep my skin, يعني looking young and youthful? That is, inshallah, is allowed, because that is not an operation that you're changing the creation of Allah. That's merely cream, like using oil, as they used to use in the olden days, to keep the skin moist and young. Because the signs of aging, no matter how much you use a cream, would remain there always, but you can reduce them a little bit. But going to operation to change and seeking, changing your creation, the way Allah created you, for the purpose to look younger, befalls under the hadith and the same reason of the hadith. Now, I'll elaborate on an important point also about what about if my husband asks me to do this kind of operations. Like, for example, to do an operation, wal'iyadhu billah, enlarging the breast, or an operation to make my lips go bigger, or an operation that my husband doesn't like my nose, how it looks like, it's a little bit long, or all of that operations, are they allowed or not? First, before I go into the answer, I want to establish the proof for you from what the scholars and the standing committee said about obeying the husband. Pay attention here. They said, answering a question about, pay attention what they are answering. Is it allowed for a woman to wear a baruka? Baruka means a wig. Is it allowed? Of course, in the Sharia, before I read the response, the question was, ما حكم لبس المرأة ما يسمى بالباروكة لتتزين بها لزوجها? What is the ruling for a woman to wear a wig so she can look good for her husband? We're not talking about a woman that lost all of her hair, or she's having chemotherapy. No, we're talking a woman that her husband wants her to wear a wig. Now, in the Sharia, fundamentally, the Prophet ﷺ in a hadith cursed al-wasila wal-mawsula. Al-wasila, the one that wear hair extensions. He cursed her, and he cursed the woman that get it done for other women. Here, the Prophet here they said, volume number 5, page 191, they said, ينبغي لكل من الزوجين أن يتجمل للآخر بما يحببه فيه ويقوي العلاقة بينهما. They said, it is incumbent for each of the spouses, the wife and the husband, to look good for the other one. يعني the man has to look good for his wife, and the wife has to look good for her husband, with whatever brings love between them and increase their relationship and make it strong. ولكن في حدود ما أباحته شريعة الإسلام. But by the limits what the Sharia of Islam allowed. ودون ما حرمته. And to stay away and refrain away from what is haram in the Sharia. Pay attention. ولبس ما يسمى بالباروكة بدأ في غير المسلمات. Now the answering about wearing the wig. They said, and wearing the wig started with the ones who started wearing it is not the Muslim women. واشتهرن بلبسه, and they become famous by wearing it. والتزين به حتى صار من سماتهم, and to decorate themselves with it until they become يعني a sign for them, which is the non-Muslims. فلبس المرأة إياها وتزينها بها ولو لزوجها فيه تشبه بالكافرات. And to wear it for the women, oh, and the woman to wear it for decoration, for adornment, with it for her husband, it is imitating the kuffar. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade it by saying, من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم, whomever imitate a group of people, he is from among them. ولأنه في حكم وصل الشعر. Now they spoke about the first principle, which is imitating the kuffar, and now they're talking about the second principle. ولأنه في حكم وصل الشعر بل أشد منه, and takes the same ruling of وصل الشعر, which is wearing hair extensions, which is, as we mentioned, the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, even worse than it. وقد نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade us from doing this. ولعن فاعله, and he cursed the one who does it. So what we understand from the standing committee here, we understand from them, and what we need, that the women are not allowed to obey her husband in something that is haram. Some men, unfortunately, because they see so much women outside, which is non-Muslim women, wearing this haram, doing all these things, watching the television, seeing women with large breasts, or seeing, wal-iyadhu billah, women wearing tattoo all over their bodies, or wearing earrings all over their bodies, and they see him on the street, they see him in the magazines, they see him on the television, their brain get brainwashed by that, their fitrah, their natural tendency, the way Allah created them, becomes corrupted, and they just came out from jahiliyyah. Maybe he has a girlfriend that used to be like that, 2-3 girlfriends that used to be like that. Then when he comes to Khadija, who grew up in a Muslim home, she prayed 5 times a day. She never had a boyfriend in her life. She used to get a heart attack if a man used to look at her. She has a lot of haya in her. And then he comes to marry her. And then he wants to transform her, which is, he wants to transform Khadija that has haya in her to look like a kafirah. Huh? He says, but this is for me and you must obey me and the Sharia told you to obey me. Yes, the Sharia told you to obey you, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. As the golden principle says, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us another principle, إنما الطاعة في المعروف. Indeed, obedience in good, obedience in no way in haram. So once the woman start doing this, out of obeying her husband, and it is haram, she is sinning in front of Allah, and he and using the excuse, Wallah, my husband told me, will not suffice you on the day of judgment. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأَوا الْعَذَابَ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهُمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. On that day, the leaders and the followers will free themselves from each other and absolve themselves from each other and say, the leaders would say, we got nothing to do with you. And the followers would say, no, we got nothing to do with you. So pay attention on the day of judgment, the order of your husband, and your husband will not help you on the day of judgment because you know, and you know very well that this is haram. So to change the creation of Allah, to suit the husband or to obey the husband is clearly haram, no matter what it is. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the woman in a certain way. And sorry to be explicit because these fatawi now have become common and we have to draw the line and we have to speak up the truth. Some would say, for example, I have, my nose is a bit long. I want to shorten it so I can look good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you in this manner. Do not change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for no one. Now, unless you were created by some kind of deformity in your nose, like the nose is bent, which the scholars and the scientists agree that this is a deformity, then you're allowed to do an operation to bring it back to normal. A sister had a car accident, broke her teeth or her nose, broken and got deformed badly. Is she allowed to do an operation to bring it back? Yes. A woman had a breast cancer and she got her breast removed. If there is an operation to bring it back to normal, then it is allowed. But if she was created with the smaller breast, not the deformed breast, then to seek the beautification, that is a major sin and that is haram. First, because the golden principle, do not change the creation of Allah. Second principle, seeking beautification. You see the two principles now, and Muhammad al-Mukhtar al-Shanqiti, the great scholar of fiqh in our time, he said this is the worst sin that combines two sins. The first major sin is changing the creation of Allah. The second major sin that is involved in this, changing the creation of Allah for another reason, seeking beauty. Also apart from that, the woman exposing her awrah, what is not allowed to show to other men and women. Because remember, the women are not allowed to show her breast to another woman unless for necessity. Even for another woman, not allowed to. except for necessity. So you see, it's a spiral of haram. And also wasting your money, an excessive waste of money for no reason. And also, who knows, Allahu A'lam, what kind of harm you can attain. And we've seen the material they put that cause harm. You see, it's a chain of haram you are falling into just by doing that. Also, to change the lip or have the lip cut to look like an Arabic 8. To look like an Arabic 8, I don't know, to look like a wave or something. That is also haram, because that is permanent change of the way you look. That is a permanent change, and it is not allowed, whether your husband asks for it or not. Now, if he does not like you the way you look, you can tell him, look, there is a big wall. You can go to the Great Wall of China. I'll pay you for the ticket and knock your head against it. You seen me before you got married to me. This is the way I look. This is the way Allah created me. You've seen me how I look like. Hence, you have no right to ask me to change the way I look. He said, but I've never looked about your breast or the way you look. Tell him, why didn't you send your mother or your sister to look at me? Huh? Also, as I said, if it is some deformities, like for example, and this is the fatwa of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, a woman that lost all of her hair, for example, for leukemia or therapy, can she wear a wig or has hair implant? The scholars, they said she can have hair implants because she is doing and gaining back what she lost. Yani, taking it back to the norm how she was. She is allowed to do that. Tayyib, to wear a wig, if she lost all her hair, if she going to female dinner with all women, tayyib, and she does not want to look like that, with no hair at all, can she wear? Some scholars have allowed that. And to beautify herself for her husband, it is allowed. I will read to you what the Mujamma' al-Fiqh al-Islami, a body of fatwa called Mujamma' al-Fiqh al-Islami, which is in their run, the 18th sitting in Malaysia. They said in the fatwa was released in year 2007. They said about cosmetic surgery, and pay attention to what they said. She said, what is allowed in cosmetic surgery? Of course, when we say cosmetic surgery, we are talking about a surgery that is performed by doctors, not a cosmetic surgery which you go to a beautician. No, because this involves operating. Why I'm mentioning this? Because anything you do with a beautician, it's normally the reason behind it to beautify yourself, not to fix damage. Understand? Not to fix damage. Before I read you the fatwa, let me explain something very quickly for you. The Sharia is divided what we need in our life to three. Daruri, necessity. Haji, need. And tahsini, beautification. The daruri for necessity, something you need to do for necessity. Like you're dying and you're dying from starvation and you see pork. Can you eat it just so you don't die? The scholars, they say yes. Because that is necessity to keep yourself alive. Haji, a need. Something that arises for need. You need it. For example, you had a car accident, you broke your nose, and you need to make an operation to bring it back as it used to be. You're not going to die if your nose remained twisted, but you need it to look like the way you were. Tahsini is something extra you acquire in your life. Like, for example, to beautify yourself. He said, إصلاح العيوب الطارئة المكتسبة من آثار الحروق والحوادث والأمراض وغيرها. They said, what is allowed from these surgeries are fixing the عيوب, the deformities that comes out of need and necessity. A sister burnt her hand completely or burnt her skin. She was cooking, the oil burnt her hand or burnt her face, or had an accident and fractured some burns in her face and something. نعم. Or sicknesses, out of sickness, like losing totally your hair. They said, مثل زراعة الجلد وترقيعه, like the implanting of skin, or to ترقيع, mean to put skin patches, like if someone got burnt badly and they need skin patches. They said, of course, it is allowed. Or to restructure the breast after it was removed. Because you're going back to the original of the way Allah created you. وَزِرَاعَةُ الشَّعْرِ حَالَةِ سُقُوتِهِ خَاصَةً لِلْمَرْأَةِ And also to implant hair once the hair has fallen, especially for women. So as you see, this great group of scholars, they allowed you to take back the creation as you were Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. Now, I leave you with those principles and understanding. I know there are many issues you're thinking about in your mind, many questions you like to ask. First, we'll take the questions which are within the topic. After having a baby, some women get stretches, mark, or veins on their legs. Are you allowed to get this removed? Now, good question. Not only this, also losing weight. Some sisters, they can be at a very large, and then they start losing a lot of weight on a diet, and then that leaves stretches. Are you allowed to look? Let's take the one who lose a lot of weight and excess skin. Of course, to take away the skin and stretches and stretch marks are allowed because you're taking back yourself how you were originally, and that is allowed. There is no problem. Mind you, the operation done through the Islamic framework. Yani, you try, yani, you find a female doctor to do it for you in an Islamic environment to do this operations. Now, after having a baby, veins that come out, which is they cause deformities, and you're allowed to do those operations. Now, the stretches, if there are minimal stretches, not all women are the same, and Allahu a'lam, yani, if they have caused a major problem, and for the woman to assess herself and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they caused a major problem, then yes, she is allowed to do those operations. But if it is a minor changes that every woman normally get, like also, for example, if the breast after suckling a baby or 2, 3, 4 kids where the breast start to change, no, you're not allowed to take it back as they were because you're changing the process of nature and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. You have to admit that a woman after 5 children, not like a woman when she's 18 and single. If you're expecting to take yourself back, exactly like what? Changing the teeth and filing the teeth. Remember that the teeth with age, they have changed, and the woman through her teeth, she looks what? Older. And same thing, when you grow older, you add wrinkles. Also, when you have children, your body changes with it and stretches would come. And the man has to accept his wife that she's going to change. She's not 18 anymore. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ cursed the woman because she's trying to seek beauty through changing the process of aging with the teeth. Remember that. So you know. But if the deformity is very bad and it is not what normally the women have, yani it's gone to excess, then she is allowed. How about laser treatment haram? Is it considered hair removal, armpits and legs? Now, pay attention. That is, I repeat the question again. How about laser treatment? Is it haram? Is it haram? Let's understand the question here. A lady want to go and get laser treatment for her armpits and for her legs. The basic principle that laser treatment to remove them is allowed. It is allowed. The hair under the armpits and the hair in the private parts and the hair on the legs that is not desirable for the woman because the woman needs to beautify herself for her husband and remove the excess hair, she is allowed to remove them with laser. But now, what is the problem that comes that makes it prohibited? First, she is going to expose her body to other women, and that is not allowed. That is not allowed. Tayyib, ya Sheikh, I'm showing my legs, I'm showing my armpits. That is not allowed to show a woman awra. But the free woman, her awra is as the companions outlined, many companions have outlined, radiallahu anhum, is the places of wudu, the places of zina. What are the places of zina? Her face, her hair. her leg, her feet, and a little bit above the ankles, that is allowed. Her arms still, the arms above the elbows, this is what other mahram men can see from you. Your father, your brother, your kids one day, once they reach puberty, your grandfather and your uncle, paternal and maternal, and also all women. All women, Muslims and non-Muslims. That's what they can see from you. Apart from that, it's for your husband. Done. Full stop. So when you go to a woman and then you have to, you say, but ya Sheikh, between the knee, khalas. That is what it is in the Sharia of Islam. Remember, you are, by the end of the day, you're meant to please Allah. You're meant to please Allah. You want the Jannah. You don't want to please the people. There are, alhamdulillah, today, million product for you to remove the hair in your house, in your privacy. Don't go out and expose your body and fall to haram with hada. Is lip suction, don't fall yani into haram and what Allah hates? I hope I answered this question correctly. Is liposuction allowed? Removing the fat from the body. Now, removing the fat from the body on levels. If it is obesity and the doctors say this is now you are in a state of danger, and that is obesity and your body has become obese and it is a big problem, and you tried different weight, lose weight systems and none of them worked, then you can do that operation and remove it if it doesn't cause a greater harm. You have to ask trustworthy Muslim doctors. Remember, there are doctors out there, they want to take your money. There are doctors out there, especially non-Muslim, they want to take your money. So remember that. Sometimes what the doctors consider at times could be just a business making. So ask a trustworthy doctors who are not interested in your pocket. They're interested to give you the right advice. As moderate weight, that can be, you can lose it through different weight system, then yes, do not do the operation and do not do liposuction. If you can control it, control it. If you cannot and has reached the level of obesity, then go ahead and do the operation. But seek the advice of trustworthy doctors, full stop. A question. What if you had a big breast, then you lost weight, which caused your breast to go smaller? Can you then have breast enlargement? No, you cannot have breast enlargement. No, you cannot have a breast enlargement because there is no need for it. No need for it. It's only seeking beautification and there is no need for it. Salamu alaikum, Sheikh, wa alaikum salam. Are you allowed to get rid of the birthmarks on the face? Birthmarks on the face, unless there are deformities, yes. If it is big, take half the face or quarter the face, yes. But just simple shamat, the beauty spot, it is not allowed to be removed because that is changing the creation of Allah. Unless they are considered by doctors, trustworthy, not business money makers, as deformity. But just a small shamat, freckles, the freckles and the shamat, you're not allowed to remove them unless they are considered as a deformity. But yes, a big birthmark that is harmful on the face or covers the face or remove the beauty of the face, it is allowed. The sister is asking, I am obliged to... Yani to see a doctor who is a male. I have no choice to find a female doctor. We say this is considered from the need and sometimes necessity. Yani هذا يعتبر من الحاجيات أو من الضروريات. In this regard, you are allowed to see a male doctor. Then you are allowed to see a male doctor in this regard because it is considered need or necessity. And otherwise, you can't find cure and you need to do that. Is henna allowed on hands? Is it considered tattoo? No, actually, the henna on the hand, it's praiseworthy act. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith collected by Abi Dawood, in the hadith that is narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, when a woman gave her a letter through, like a paper or a letter or something, through the curtain, the Prophet ﷺ came to grab it, then he realized it's a hand of a woman or it could be half a woman. He backed off and he asked Aisha radiallahu anha, is that a hand of a man or a woman? She said, no, it's a woman. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, she should make it different by wearing henna. So wearing henna for women on their hands, even with the decoration, the decorated one, is allowed. But you are not allowed to show your hands on the street. Meaning, let's take the two opinions of the scholars. Some scholars say the hand of the woman must be covered at all times, like to wear gloves. Some other opinion says the woman is allowed to show her face and her hands. Both opinion, if you wear henna, if you are on the first opinion, then you need to cover your hand anyway, with or without henna. The second opinion, now this is an adornment that must be covered. So you need to cover your hands. يعني with what? Either with gloves, or if you wear a long jilbab, that is always continuously covering your hand and your hand doesn't show unnecessarily. You see? If you're not wearing the henna, on the other opinion, you're allowed to show your hand. Now, another question says, how about nail polish and henna? We say first, the nail polish is not allowed because it causes a cover on the nails, which forbids you from making wudu. If you wear nail polish, let's say, after Salat al-Isha, and you remove them for Salat al-Fajr, it's allowed, under the condition that you do not show your hands on the streets, because you are now showing your zina. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they should not show their adornment. And wearing henna publicly, wearing nail polish publicly, is not allowed. Now the henna, if it is on the hands, it does not cause this cover for wudu like the nail polish does, or like the acrylic extensions does. It stops the water from reaching the skin or reaching the nail polish, the nails for wudu. Here another question says, how about braces for kids? Braces for kids is allowed if the doctors say it is their teeth going to be deformed in the future, like teeth riding on one another, or they're going to be buck and outside. To bring them back to normal is definitely allowed. Another question says, second ear pierce, is that allowed for girls? They usually have one, but now they want more, two or three. Greedy. Ear piercing, the issue of ear piercing. We have to go back to principle. Always let's go back to principle. Any mutilation in the body, drilling holes in the body, puncturing the body for no reason that is allowed in the Sharia is haram, because you are changing the creation of Allah and causes unnecessary pain for the body. How is that? Now, in the Sharia, some ulama said you're not allowed to do earrings whatsoever. Some ulama said they are allowed. The proof is the hadith when Bilal radiallahu anhu was collecting sadaqah from the women, while after the Prophet ﷺ gave him a talk, Bilal went around the women and collected the money or gold, and some of them were taking earrings from their ears, undoing them and throwing them. Here the ulama said for a woman is allowed to have one earring. Apart from that, it is unnecessary drilling holes in your body and it's not allowed. Of course, the one in the nose, some scholars, they say, on top of drilling holes in your nose, you are imitating religious rituals the Indians and others do. Some scholars would say also imitating the people of Fujur, the singers and the rock stars and all that, you're not allowed to. In the belly also is the same thing. In the second and third, the same thing. The decency of the woman is one in her ears, and that's it, full stop, because that is the dalil that gave us the exception. And jazakumullah khair. Tayyib, we finished this list of questions. Tayyib, let's take more. Some dress has round neck, little bit big. Can she wear them in front of a woman? Now, round neck, little bit big, as long as doesn't drop all the way towards the cleavage area. If a little bit of the chest here and nahar here, just the two collarbones and a little bit under, is allowed. But as long as it doesn't drop even down towards the cleavage area. Here he said, or she said, what the ruling on niqab, is it obligatory? We had lecture done about that. The scholars are onto two schools. The Sahaba and the later generations and the four Imams generally on obligatory to cover the face for a woman. Later ulama said it is not obligatory. Wallahi, to be honest with you, the adilla, the proofs, tend to lean much towards covering the face is obligatory for a woman. That is where the majority of the proofs lean to. Now, the feet definitely have to be covered, with the agreement of the ulama, except an opinion inside the Hanafi madhab. Why? Because the proof is clear. Ummu Salama came to the Prophet ﷺ, asked him, when the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the hadith about that the men have to shorten their thawb above the ankle, she said, and the women? He said, no, the women have to drag. Ummu Salama said, and the feet would show, Ya Rasulullah, for the women? He said, no, the woman, she have to prolong her dress. She said, to the floor? He said, even if it drags. She said, how long? He said, how much? Who remembers the hadith? Arm span, drag to the floor, arm span. Then she said, it will pick up filth. He said, wouldn't she walk on dry land? She said, yes. He said, the dry land will clean the filth. That means how much she need to cover? Not only her feet, the Prophet ﷺ asked her to drag her thawb that nothing appears. Now you could say, argue, طيب, why and that? You are a Muslim, and part of your meaning a Muslim, and part of meaning Muhammad Rasulullah is I obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.